105.7 KOZZ, Reno's Classic Rock, the man who can, has, and will again, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member, an inspiration to us all. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Def Leppard's Joe Elliott. And Joe, you got something else going. This is the second album with Down and Outs.
Yes, I have indeed. This new album, it's only been out a week now, but it's been 5 years in the making, you know. It's been a labor of love, but I'm very happy with the way it turned out.
Well, the last one was really good. We played a lot of that, had a good time with it. It was just a well-crafted album, and a guy that, you know, you know, when we first met years and years ago, when you were on tour with Blackfoot, I was a stagehand, and we started talking...
1981.
Yeah, we started talking about Mott the Hoople and T-Rex, and we just, like, we couldn't stop talking enough about those guys, and those are a lot of your influences with the band. And Down and Out's new album, This Is How We Roll, we're gonna have to blast that one when we get through visiting, but what a great song and what a great band.
Yeah, they are a great band. I'm really happy with them. I mean, I got lucky. You know, there was nothing that I... it wasn't like I had to audition these guys and you could reject this, that, the other. I inherited them in a situation where we were opening for Mott the Hoople 2009, and they'd been volunteered to be my band because Mott had asked me to open for them on the last night of their London run.
Yeah.
And it just turned out that, you know, for the most part, it was just a great band. We've been through, we are currently on our third bass player. Okay. Really nice, exactly the same lineup, you know.
Yeah.
They're a really good band. They understand what the music's about, and they totally get my vision regarding the way that, that when I wrote these songs,
yeah,
they were all on board with them straight away.
Yeah.
They all said, love them. We're in, we're there, you know. So the confidence going into making this record was 100% on everybody's part, because everybody had signed off on the fact that we thought we had something that was pretty strong, you know.
Yeah.
I was going to say the downside, but it's actually turned out that it hasn't been a downside at all, but the opposite side of the coin, if you like, is the fact that we couldn't just go in the studio like traditional bands do, start to finish, make an album. Everybody's got a mothership, you know. I've got Def Leppard, they've got the Choir Boys, Cher, the bass players in Vixen, the drummer Phil is in a band called Wayward Son, so I can only snag them when they're free from their day jobs, you know.
Yeah.
So we had to do it in kind of bits and bobs over a 5-year period.
Yeah.
But I think the record actually benefited for that, because I think this is a better time for it to come out. It's post Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know, stuff. The Def Leppard profile is higher than it was 5 years ago, so he shines a bigger light on the Down and Outs anyway. But
yeah,
the songs have benefited from living and breathing and us finding faults three months down the road that most artists find when the song's already in the shop 2 months.
Right, right, right.
I had that fantastic advantage of, for the most part, you know, even right up to the end when I thought the album was slightly unbalanced, I knew we were missing a rocker, so I just literally sat down and wrote Boys Don't Cry, which is the only one of two songs written on a guitar. The rest of the album, I wrote them all on piano, so there was a distinctive difference between this and, say, anything that I would say contribute to a Def Leppard record, because piano is the distinguishing difference between the two bands, and there's not much point being in two bands that sound identical.
Well, This Is How We Roll's got some punch to it. I mean, I like the ferocity of that one.
Punch. I mean, look, Motley Crue's got punch.
Yeah.
So does, you know, Metallica. But they don't sound like Def Leppard. And
no.
They don't sound like the Down and Outs. You know, it's got punch. The whole album has got punch.
Yeah.
But it's just that he's got piano.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to, I was never going to take the punch away.
No.
You know, I mean, essentially rock and roll, even going back to the days of Chuck Berry and Little Richard and Jerry Lee Lewis, where piano made a big deal, maybe not so much on Chuck Berry music, but it's there. But it's always been big drums. You know, I mean, even John Bonham has readily admitted the beginning of rock and roll was stolen off the beginning of a Little Richard song. It all owes its, you know, it dead to itself all the way back to the beginning. But the punch is always there, no matter what kind of music it is. And because it's drums, bass, guitars, vocals, in, say, Def Leppard, with this, it's drums, bass, guitars, vocals, and piano. And it just adds a dimension that's just that bit different.
Yeah. We're talking to Joe Elliott of Def Leppard. Of course, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame had to have been cool for Def Leppard. I mean, we talked one time about your first EP, which came out on Record Store Day recently, the original EP that you and your mother sat and put together, the first copies of Def Leppard's EP. And to go from that moment in the flat there with your mom making the EP for people to go by, to that stage moment when Brian May of Queen inducts you into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it was a 42-year journey to get there.
Nice job.
Me and my mom glued all the sleeves together.
Yeah, nice job.
Records in, and then posted them off to people that had sent a pound to buy one, or, you know, mail order, as you like.
Yeah.
You know, 'cause it was only 1,000 of them. But, you know, we weren't really trying to sell them. We were trying to get them to people of influence to listen
right.
to. And aware of the, you know, we always liked to think we were one up on all the other bands around us. And
had to be.
They all sent sets off. And that just meant that everybody sent cassettes off.
Yeah.
So then they would just become part of the herd.
But then, in those days.
Made a picture sleeve, vinyl, 7-inch single, and sent it off to record companies and music magazines and radio stations, and it made them sit up and look and listen.
But that was the thing, is I would get cassettes in the mail, and we don't have cassette decks in the control room. We don't play cassettes. If I got an album, there was a 90% chance it was going to go on the radio.
Well, that's what happened with us in the UK. John Peel, legendary, you know, radio broadcaster in the UK. I managed to get a copy to him when he was doing a DJ thing at Sheffield University, and he promised to play it if he liked, you know, what he heard, and he actually played the song every night for 5 nights.
Cool.
That's really what got the ball rolling, you know.
Cool.
And it was interesting, really, because the kind of music that he normally played was very different to anything that we were doing, but he loved the DIY aspect of it, and so he figured musically, different to all the punk new wave that was happening or not, this is a band worthy of a listen. So that really helped, you know. And like you say, it was the start of a journey that took us all the way to March to release the Hall of Fame, but it's going to go beyond there. That's not the, you know, we're not doing a victory lap. That's not the end of the story by a long way. There's more to come, but it really was a nice way to, you know, especially closing the evening off with Brian and Ian Hunter on stage doing All the Young Dudes, which is a song that's very close to my heart, you can imagine.
Yeah.
It just seemed to, like, close the circle off for that, like, beginning, and that, what a great way to end that particular night. But, you know, once we were over it and we all went home, it's like, okay, what's next? And, you know, we followed that way. Huge European tour that we did this summer gone, and then Canada, and then we did the residency in Vegas. And, you know, there's more to come, so it is, I'm not going to say it has been, it still is one hell of a journey. And for me personally, just stepping off the soap opera into a, you know, into an indie movie now and again, which is what the down and outs is, it's so much fun, because you bring a different energy back to the mothership when you do that.
Yeah. Speaking of the next step, the next adventure, Saturday night, Toyota Amphitheater. Def Leppard, Don Felder, last in line. We're giving away tickets all week, everybody. And you know what? Jeez, what a great show that's going to be. Great venue. Going to be a lot of fun. And everybody listen, we're talking to Joe Elliott of Def Leppard. And when Def Leppard gets on stage, they have one thing in mind, and that is to make sure that there's a good time going on and some great rock and roll.
That's exactly our job, and what's going to make it even more special is because this is, like, you know, a whole big experience for this venue in Sacramento. We're kind of very blessed and honored that we were asked to be the band to do this show. But it's also our last show of the year, so this is a great way for us to bow out until next, you know, the next tour.
Right.
So that makes it an even more special night. You know, we did a gig in Nashville at the 111 Exit 111 festival about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and then we've got this one now. And you know, after Vegas, we were kind of going to be done, but these opportunities came along, and we were just, you know, they were too good to not get involved in, because it's the excitement factor is what drives us on. Is we want everything to be an event, and Saturday is going to be a major event. So very happy to be involved.
Joe Elliott of Def Leppard. Joe, always thank you for your time, for being so good to us for all these years, and all the great memories since was 1981 on tour with Blackfoot that we started talking about. You and I started talking about Mott the Hoople and T-Rex. And T-Rex finally up for induction, a nominee for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I hope so, because you know what? I mean, you listen to songs like Buick McCain and Jeepster, and there were just so many different facets of T-Rex beyond Bang a Gong.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Buick McCain was covered by Guns N' Roses on the Spaghetti Incident album, you know. I mean, that band have never really had an opportunity to be exploited in America the way that they were, you know, that they had in the UK.
Yeah.
And that's one of the downsides of the Hall of Fame is that it doesn't kind of have a UK branch, if you like. So a lot of these bands like T-Rex that might, you know, be seen by an American, it's like, well, they didn't really have that much of an influence, did they? They only had one top 10 hit. But it's not that. It's like it's a matter of people that are influenced that had big hits in America, like Def Leppard and Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue would be a big Poland fan, you know.
Yeah.
It goes beyond. So I'm more than happy that they've got nominated. And I can probably say with hand on heart, I will probably be ticking that box when I get my ballot sheet.
Awesome. Joe Elliott, always a pleasure. Looking forward to seeing the show Saturday night, Toyota Amphitheater. Everybody listening, get your tickets to Def Leppard, Don Felder, and Last in Line at KOZZRadio.com. Cheers, mate.
Cheers. Thank you. Cheers, Mike. Talk to you again.